and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about the concept of freedom in Islam. I invite you to be with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 24th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-A'raf, Chapter 7 of the Holy Quran, verse 28.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون.
And when they commit an immorality, they say, "We found our fathers doing it, and Allah has ordered us to do it." Say, "Indeed, Allah does not order immorality. Do you say about Allah that which you do not know?"
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran points to one of the important temptations of Satan, usually stated by the tongues of some persons who have satanic qualities. It is so that when they do a disgraceful action and they are asked of its reason, they will answer that it is the custom of and tradition that they have found with their ancestors upon it, in addition that Allah had enjoined them upon it too.
Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on, and now we're here together calling you for freedom. We know you can hear our call.
The concept of freedom in Islam, this is the topic of this part. Because Allah has granted man free will, man is answerable to Allah for his actions. Divine reward or punishment is ordained in accordance with man's free will. Without free will and its adherent responsibility and commitment, there could be neither reward nor punishment. Islam insists that man has free will because that is the way that Allah created him. It allows him to express this freedom and to practice it within the limits of commitment and responsibility and self-control. Man has obligation to choose the path of righteousness and to safeguard his freedom and that of others. Because Islam grants free will, it is expected that man will use it to further his knowledge in all areas which help in the improvement of human lot on this earth. Otherwise, freedom may become a tool of destruction, annihilations, and doctrinal deviation. Man is urged by Islam to consider the physical and spiritual welfare of others in all his endeavors. This prevents freedom from being turned into a dictatorship, exploiting others' inalienable rights to share in nature's natural resources.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, the topic is aspects of freedom in the Islamic system according to Imam Khomeini. Back to the Islamic definition and notion of freedom, it must be indicated that in Islam, mankind accepts and admits being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, mankind is free from the bonds of being attached to any other deity save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we find that the Islamic religion has come in order to set all people, everybody free from being servants or slaves of other people or other idols. The Holy Quran is assertive in this regard. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَيَدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. The Islamic religion has come to set free, to set people free from restrictions. And, I mean, free from, I mean, the restrictions imposed on people by satanic forces and satanic agents. In this regard, it's indicated that the first infallible Imam, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'minin, alayhi salam, indicated it's in this way, وَلَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرَكَ وَجَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرَّ. Never become the slave of any other person because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you free, has created you free.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is IRIB English Radio. This program today is special. We're going to speak about freedom of belief. Islam encourages and indeed urges everyone to make his own inquiry about which religion to choose, while simultaneously does not hold all choices equally sound. It is a matter of truth regardless of whether one discovers it, denies it, or ignores it together. For such a choice is not something subjective like the color of one's dress or the cuisine that one enjoys. Rather, the belief in baseless myth and superstitions is undoubtedly perilous to human honor and dignity. Therefore, despite the fact that we are not relativists and we do believe in certain standards, we should let people decide which creed they are to follow. The unprecedented truth is that Islam is not intolerant to other people's faith. Rather, Islam aims to propagate individuals to take responsibility of their faith. Islam encourages them to follow logical arguments, to ponder and avoid blindly following one's lowly desires and whims.
Somebody just tell me, where is my freedom?
We look at this part, the concept of freedom in Nahjul Balagha. The merciful Lord has given his creatures complete freedom to do as they like, and they are prohibited from certain actions and warned of the consequences of such actions. These commands carry in them the least trouble and lead us toward the most convenient way of life. He did not send his prophets to amuse himself or provide amusement for them. He did not reveal his orders without any reason and purpose. Neither has he created the galaxies and the earth without any design, purpose, and program. A universe without a plan, purpose, and program is the idea of infidels and heathens. Sorry will be their plight in the fire and the hell, saying 78 of Nahjul Balagha. Destiny was an order of God to do it, like the order he has given in his holy book. You are destined to worship him and nobody else. Here, destined means ordered. It does not mean physical compulsion.
We have seen using force in the family, it would result in a failure. In many children, many daughters and sons running away from religion because their parents forced them. We have seen forcing a people of a country to be religious results in people fleeing from religion and becoming anti-religion because the government is forcing them. We should not use the policy of force. We should use the policy of education. Encouragement, yes. How do we keep our children Muslims? Encouragement, education, show them the benefit of being religious, being committed to their faith, to their religion, to their Lord. Once they realize the benefit, once they realize the difference between someone who's practicing and someone who's not, not practicing, then they're going to follow. And there, when they follow, they become genuine. They learn honesty. They don't learn hypocrisy. They learn honesty. Because this is a relationship between them and God. Not them and their government or their parents. Them and God. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ Allah says, I could have made, designed people in a way, programmed their brains and their minds to follow only one faith. I could have done that. It was easy, but I didn't do that. I wanted them to select, to choose, to think. Therefore, there are two ways today of following faith and religion. One is the classical way, traditional way, the way that some people use it in their some countries, in their countries, through inheritance. They pass religion to their children, to their grandchildren, through inheritance. Children learn religion from their parents through inheritance. They inherit religion. And there is the other way, which is through education, through discovery, through research. Children, they embrace religion through research because they made their own research. Yes, the parents, they encouraged them, but the parents did not do the entire job for them. They encouraged them in the beginning, but then the children, they went, they studied, they read, they researched, they discovered Islam. The discovery of Islam is more important than inheriting Islam.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We were speaking about freedom in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us reflect on what the Holy Prophet's divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about prosperity in life and salvation in afterlife. Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in their next life.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the plans and blueprints of the Imams alayhim assalam was that they would prepare us, their followers, the Shia, for the ghaibah and for the occultation and the absence of the Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his reappearance. There is a big lesson in that for us, obviously, regarding the why the Imams alayhi salam would do so. That they would prepare the Ummah, they would prepare the Shia for the Ghaibah, for the occultation, by mentioning certain things that would guide them during that particular time. And one of those things was who to follow, which individual should you take as a guide in terms of walking the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you take anybody, or are there certain criteria? What are those criteria? And we see in the words of the Imams alayhim assalam that this criteria is present, and hopefully we are able to follow it and apply it to our daily lives. So one of those traditions is reported by the 11th Holy Imam, the father of our Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, who obviously had the bigger role in preparing the Ummah for the Ghaibah because he was the last Imam who would be present amongst the people. He mentioned this very beautiful tradition that is a very popular, common and well-known tradition that is used by the scholars, and it is used to promote, you know, the reason why we should emulate or do taqleed, and who is taqleed viable upon, and who we should do taqleed on. So the Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that whoever from among the jurists safeguards himself. So here we see not just a jurist, that is a person who is well versed in Islamic sciences, but this person also needs to safeguard himself. So there are additional criteria for who one should follow. So not only the most knowledgeable, but also the most pious. Again, this is a fiqh discussion, and this is not a fiqh program. What he said is just based on the tradition itself, not on fiqh. Listeners should refer to the books of their own maraja for a more detailed discussion. But according to the tradition, right, Whoever from among the jurors safeguards himself, is protective of his religion, opposes his temptations, is obedient to his master's command. Obviously, the master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the common people must emulate him. And this is only applicable to some of the Shia jurists, not all of them. This is clear, that pick your marja carefully according to this tradition. Again, this is a discussion based on the tradition. This is not a fiqh discussion. Obviously, when you have fiqh discussion, everything else has to be in play. So just based on this tradition from the Imam alayhi salam, which should not be looked at independently, we understand that it is important for us, one of the general rulings that we can see is to follow somebody who has the criteria and the conditions to be followed. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners who are listening to this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abul Ainain Shaisha. He was born in 1922 in Kafara Sheikh Governorate, and before he turned 10, he had memorized the whole Quran. His first Quran recitation teacher was his father, Ahmad Shaisha. He had a warm voice and precisely pronounced each and every word and letter. Gradually, Sheikh Abul Ainain Shaisha became a very well-known and skilled reciter. He was admitted to the Egyptian radio while he was only 17 years old, and he was the youngest reciter to enter the radio. He was first an imitator of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat's style of recitation, but gradually he developed his own style. Abul Ainain Shaisha was the only Egyptian reciter who witnessed all the generations of reciters since the time reciting the Noble Quran became professional. He saw the reciters before the age of the radio, and now he saw the reciters of the fourth generation of recitation. He was considered the living history of Quran recitation in Egypt. He had important titles, such as being the reciter of Sayyida Zainab Mosque in Cairo, Naqib al-Qurra, member of the testing committee of reciters in the radio and television, member of the board of the Holy Quran in the Endowment Ministry of Egypt. He also was the chairman of the jury panel in Islamic Republic of Iran's 15th International Quran Competition in 1998. Sheikh Abul Ainain Shaisha passed away on June 23rd, 2011, at the age of 89. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Abul Ainain Shaisha, reciting verses 7 and 8 of Suratul Qasas. Let's enjoy it. Dear audience of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 7 and 8 of Suratul Qasas, recited by Sheikh Abul Ainain Shaisha. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Shaisha uses two maqams in this recitation. The first one is Bayati. And in some parts, he uses Maqam al-Kurd, which is a very beautiful and spiritual and pleasurable Maqam to listen to. And, you know, Bayati and Kurd, they're similar to each other, okay? Mm-hmm. The only difference between Bayati and Kurd is the second degree of these two Maqams. And probably not every individual is able to tell the difference between Kurd and Bayati. You have to listen very carefully. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ. Both times he used maqam bayati muhayyar, a specific kind of bayati, a branch of maqam bayati. And then فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. This was in maqam kurd. And these are very beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. They're about, it's a miracle.
Yeah,
you know, when we listen to these verses, it's impossible to think that these are the words of a human. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you read the narrations that are from Prophet Muhammad, the way that he speaks is totally different from the verses of the Quran. You know, the eloquence and the beauty, the miraculousness that these verses have. Prophet Muhammad, when he spoke ordinarily, just normally, he didn't speak like this. So we know that this is definitely revelation. This is divine revelation. Mm-hmm. These verses are about the mother of Moses and how Allah inspired to her to basically nurse Prophet Moses and then throw him into the sea, cast him into the sea, and we will protect him, and then we're going to make him a prophet.
Yep. Actually, when we think about it, we can understand that it is such a difficult thing to do. A mother, his newly born baby, letting it actually...
But the inspiration of God is like a peace of mind for her. You know, whenever God inspires... This is how difficult it was for her, that Allah inspired to her not to worry about Prophet Moses.
Yeah.
And Allah gave her the good news that he will become one of the mursaleen, one of the apostles.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says, we will give him back to you.
Yes. And the next verse is that, فَالْتَغَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. The people of Pharaoh, the family of Pharaoh, they picked him up from the river. They picked Prophet Moses up from the river. And, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. It was intended that Moses should be to them an adversary and a cause of sorrow for them, because Pharaoh and his and Haman, some people say that Haman was the deity that they worshipped, okay? Mm-hmm. Amun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a person, actually. It was an idol that they worshipped. The Pharaoh and Haman and their hosts were men of sin. Khatiin means people who commit sins. Okay, now let's talk about tajweed very briefly, because we talked a lot about the verses in terms of the maqamat and also the meaning of the verses. One thing about this recitation by Sheikh Shu'aisha is that he lengthens all of the matul munfasils to about 5 vowel counts. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. These are all matul munfasils to 5 vowel counts.
This
and it's very beautiful. If you lengthen all of these madul munfasils, it adds to the beauty of the recitation. And فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا. Again, we have another madul munfasil.
Another disjunct man.
فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ. This is another madul munfasil. Yes, and let's mention a few other rules of tajweed. For example, fir'aun. In the word fir'aun, we have a ra sakina preceded by a letter with a kasra. So we have to apply tarqiq,
thinness
to the ra. Fir'auna. What about the previous verse? Al-mursaleen. We have the opposite.
Yes.
We have tafkhim of ra this time.
Because actually, although it is sakin, looking at the previous letter makes it clear that you have to pronounce it with a...
Yes, that's right. And Sheikh Shu'aisha...
With thickness, actually.
Yes, and Sheikh Shu'aisha is reciting these verses in the famous method of reciting the Quran, which is Hafs an Asim. And he always does this, you know. He hasn't recited... in the other riwayas at all. So all of his recitations of Sheikh Shu'aisha are in Hafs, the riwayah of Hafs an Asim.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, you already know that we were talking about the part where Imam Ali alayhi salam in this divine supplication says, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'al khadi'in mutadallilin khashi'. O Allah, I verily ask you, with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, and tusamihani, to show me forbearance, watarhamani, and to have mercy on me, watajalani biqismika radiyan qani'a, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment, wafi jami'i al-ahwali mutawadi'a, and to make me humble in every state. We talked about the first two requests in the previous programs, the request for forbearance and mercy. And in the previous program specifically, we started talking about satisfaction and where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment. So, the compassionate one has provided his servants with the sustenance, and it is appropriate for each servant. But for some people it is expanded and for some it is narrow. But he has set some different ways for the servants to get lawful and halal sustenance, and that's why there are many traditions encouraging people, even in the verses of the Holy Quran, encouraging people to gain sustenance through these legal and lawful ways. And we have many traditions on the importance of the issue. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ. Setting out for getting lawful sustenance is an obligatory deed after other the obligatory deeds. For example, like saying prayers, like fasting and others, and this is also obligatory after those obligatories. طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ جِهَادٌ, the Holy Prophet has said. Seeking out lawful sustenance is like jihad, or holy war in Almighty Allah's way. Apart from these types of traditions, there are some other traditions, including some advice on how to increase the sustenance. Once a man asked the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how he could increase his sustenance. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu stated, Dum ala tahara, yuwassa alayka fil rizq. Keep on purity and cleanness, and your sustenance would be expanded.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam has said, Muwasatul akhi fillahi azza wa jal tazidu fil rizq. Helping religious brothers increases sustenance. We have many of these izdiyadu fil rizq, this phrase in many of the narrations. For example, in another tradition, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Isti'malu al-amanati yazidu fil rizq." Trustworthiness enlarges the sustenance. Means you are the one who keep the people, and you are the trustee of the people, but you do not have your eyes after what the people possess, and this means Almighty Allah has another way to provide you with your sustenance. The fifth infallible Imam, Imam Baghir alayhi salam, has stated, عَلَيْكَ بِالدُّعَاءِ لِإِخْوَانِكَ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. Pray for your religious brothers in their absence. فَإِنَّهُ يُهِيلُ الرِّزْقِ. Because it descends an extended sustenance. In other traditions, we have حُسْنُ الْخُلْقِ يَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ. having good behavior, or من حسن بره أهل بيته زيد في رزقه. The one who serves his family nicely, his sustenance would be expanded. So you see, dear listeners, the Almighty Allah has provided many ways and paths for getting lawful sustenance, and He has provided many somehow bonuses and many activities and deeds that will raise our sustenance. And they are all lawful and loved by the Almighty Allah, but the point is that we have to get to know them throughout the traditions and the verses of the Holy Quran first, and then implement them in our lives. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadiri, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs.
Joining us in the studio is our new friend, Sheikh Noor Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Sheikh, our question today is a theological question, but also perhaps a question of principle. And the question is as follows. Why are dogs in Islam, with all of the benefits that this animal has, considered ritually impure? Like, where is it mentioned in the Holy Quran? And the question even goes on, the question asked even says, like, the clothes of a prayer sayer, if it is stained with, for example, cow dung, and he prays, his prayer is valid. It is accepted by Allah. But even if there's one strand of dog hair on the prayer sayer's clothing, his prayer is invalid. Why this distinction?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is very beautiful question and very valid question actually. Let me start in this way. There is, you know, if you look at the Islamic sources, we have different Islamic sources. First of all, as you mentioned, is Noble Quran, and then right. We have the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam, including Holy Prophet Muhammad. And then we have rational reasons, which right. We call it aql, and consensus, ijma, and so on and so forth.
So rational arguments are also part.
Yeah, it's right. Part of that, the Islamic sources. So it is not necessary that all Islamic laws has been mentioned into the verses of Noble Quran. I can right. Give you lots of examples that the verses of the Noble Quran does not mention particular Islamic laws.
Some very fundamental laws, like how to pray.
Yes, of course. We have many verses talking about the different Islamic laws.
Right.
But it is not necessary that all Islamic laws and rituals have been mentioned into the verses of the Noble Quran, because beside that, we have narrations and other Islamic sources, right. As I mentioned. Another point is that, first of all, I think it is very actually necessary to mention one Islamic point about the rights of the animals and rights of the nature.
Right.
You see that in Islam, we have a lot of emphasis on the rights of the animals. If you look at different narrations, you can find them very amazing. For example, one narration I would like to share with you is about feeding dogs or any other animals.
About feeding dogs.
Yes.
That's what the narration is about.
Yeah, or quenching the thirst of a dog.
Right.
It is very rewarding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to reward such a person who feed a dog, or, for example, quenching the thirst of the dog.
Right.
Or any other animal. And it has been mentioned in narrations that it is forgiveness of the sin of that person.
So
of that
by doing
individual.
This good deed of even feeding a dog or providing yes. water for a dog, your sins get pardoned by Allah.